Well, a lot of churches think they really know what their pastors are looking for Pastor Appreciation Month. But in my experience, a lot of people are wrong about what they're looking for. So in this conversation, we're going to unpack some of the things that we've seen pastors love the most to receive as gifts for Pastor Appreciation Month. Let's talk about it. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about Pastor Appreciation Month. October is nearly here if you're watching this when this video is coming out. And October, of course, is Pastor Appreciation Month. And I know that our audience has always really loved some of these ideas that we come up with of how to appreciate our pastors here. So as someone who has pastored and currently is an executive pastor at a church, I'm going to give you some real-world feedback. And Ian, I'm sure you have some ideas on some of this stuff too, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, you know, I've pastored as well, and also just obviously being at a local church who celebrates my own pastor now, and have celebrated you in the past when we pastored together, but also just seeing a lot of, you know, either lame ideas for Pastor Appreciation Month over the years, or good ones. And I think we have some good ones here. And so, for sure.
I'll share at the end, like the one gift that I don't think you should give, the one that I get, I haven't gotten this in a while. Maybe it's because I'm so vocal about this point. There is a gift that I have gotten before that I would recommend you not give your pastor. So we'll unpack that a little bit at the end here. But yeah, I think it should be a good conversation. Let's get into it. Maybe you can kind of introduce me in, and then we'll kind of figure out what some of the best ideas we came up with.
Yeah, so we call it actually 8 fresh ideas that pastors will really appreciate. So, and the first one would be, hey, how about give them a Sunday without any responsibility? So maybe they just show up, worship, there's a guest speaker, whatever it would be. Sunday off, let them come in almost. And I think it's really cool for several reasons. Not only do they get the day off and get to just chill, they get to kind of experience their church if they're in worship and they're still just as a member would, right? So I think that's also good for a pastor to just kind of get that feel, which is different than what they're used to. So,
yeah, I think this is good. I think that it takes more planning than you realize to pull this off. Yeah. Obviously, you can't just surprise your pastor on that Sunday morning. Say, hey, by the way, we have someone else preaching. He's got a message ready to go or something that.
So. Then he really he didn't get off. He had to prepare for it.
Right, exactly. So, and then, like, if I'm being really honest, like, this is harder than it sounds because, like, even on Sundays when you don't have any responsibilities, like, there's still a lot of weight on pastors, even when they're just sitting there. If they have a guest speaker and they're not leading worship or they're not doing announcements or anything, like, still you're watching, and this is kind of just so, I imagine our pastors in the audience know this, but you're watching everything with, I don't want to call it a critical eye, but you're just being observant, like, because you want to consistently make sure people are receiving what you want them to see on a Sunday morning, and that visitors are being cared for, and you're listening to every word of the message, and you're again, not being critical, but you're like, you know, did we get that exactly right? And so it is very hard for pastors to take time off and be in service there. So I think, you know, even another alternative to this was just giving them an extra weekend off. That's a great idea also, is a really good thing. But yeah, so if it's well-planned, I would say, which means you need to start planning it now if you're going to do it at some point in October, where, you know, who's going to be speaking and how can you really take all of the weight off of your pastor on a Sunday. I think if you can get through that, I love the idea. Really good.
Yeah, just a funny thought in closing on that is some people might be like, great, I don't want my pastor to do this because then they're going to come back with all these things we need to change as a staff or leadership team and come in all critical on the whole service. So
that sounds familiar to me. I think that's something that basically that's my job as an executive pastor is, it's not critical. It's just because we really care about the assignment and the mission God's given us that we want to make sure we're doing our dead level best.
Call it a positive critique.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. That's it. There you go. So, I have been known to do that.
Well, good. The next one, I'll just put this one out here too, Thomas, for the next one. short story videos from the church, or story videos of people sharing testimonies and about how God has used their pastor to bless them, or so on. So yeah, that's good.
This one may be my favorite. Like, and it takes some work again. And usually when this is done, it's something that churches will want to do as almost like a surprise. I think it's most powerful when, you know, you don't make your pastor be the one that makes the video.
Right. about themselves.
Yeah. Well, not saying it, but even like making them film it, or like if they're unaware that this is actually happening, of just people sharing about the impact that they've had in their lives. I think that's
most pastors would tear up when they saw that, especially as a surprise.
Yeah, it's really probably the most valuable thing. I mean, you guys, you have to know your pastor and what they what their love language is. But words of affirmation, I think, for a lot of people that go into ministry, is something that we really do long for. And that's a dilemma in a lot of pastors' hearts, is that we don't do it for the praise of man, right? It's not because, you know, then that person will really love me. Right. But it doesn't change the fact that that feels good. Like when someone tells you that was a really great message, or here's one thing, an example I'd use too. So oftentimes when people will tell me that maybe our lead pastor at my church, again, I'm the executive pastor, they'll say, that was a really great message. I'll encourage them to go tell him directly that it was a great message. But my encouragement to them is to be specific about what made it a great message. Like, what part did you really like? Because what we hear a lot of times is like, as people are leaving the building, say, great job, or, you know, great, that was great, or whatever.
Yeah.
But when you're specific about it, which is what these videos would be, where you can bring some specificity, like, you changed my life when you did this, and you called me that night right after when we were in the hospital, or you made such an impact on me when, you know, after our baptism, you called me and we walked through this situation. So those specifics, I think, are what's really valuable, and that's great in video format. So again, it'll take some work. Don't make your pastor make his, like, you know, find people to praise him or something. Yeah. But if you could do this in secret, I think that just about every pastor would be really blessed by this, even more than some of the other gifts that we're talking about here. Not to say don't be generous in other areas, but this is something that's a big undertaking and it'll be really valuable.
Yeah, and one last thing I'll add to that too, Thomas, is pastors work hard, and they, I think a lot of them feel underappreciated, you know, and again, they're, like you said, they're not doing it for the praise of man, but at the same time, if they're constantly pouring themselves out and focusing on other people, which is in large what a pastor does, right? They are building up other people and leading them. Yeah, often they're unfulfilled, and even if their love language is not words of affirmation, I think it'll still become that to a certain degree if they hear that. So they need to hear it. So that's a good point. So this next one I like too. It's different. Pastoral sabbatical fund.
Yeah.
To take that up. Yeah.
Yeah, I love this. In your offering. So I've never had a sabbatical in my ministry. I haven't been at any church long enough to like really... I think... kind of things I've heard out there is like 7 years, and it's kind of like sabbatical season. And that's about the time that I think we get called to another church every time we get close that 7 year mark.
I bet Methodist pastors can relate to that. Yeah, they get moved around a lot. So
yeah, they do. It's our experience with that. So that's not normal for I'm in a denomination called Foursquare. Right. And so that's not typical there, but just that's what God's done in me. And you know, so here's where we find ourselves. But yeah, I know that like taking a sabbatical, and when we're talking about that, we're talking about an extended like time off from all aspects of ministry. So, you know, not you're still doing pastoral care, you're not still running the staff, like you really cut off for a season of time. Yeah. Not only is it hard to like get all your ducks in a row to do that, but it's expensive, like to be able to get away from it all. Maybe even if you have a family, to take your family with you. I know a lot of times a sabbatical might involve traveling to some different places, and it doesn't have to be, you know, 5-star luxury resorts or anything, but just taking time off from everything else.
You don't want it to just be a camping trip or something like that.
Well, so, and even if it is, that costs money, right?
Like, so if they want, I was thinking of a tent, though. You know, you probably something
I'd like
better
to be
better.
I think there's lots of pastoral like retreat centers that specialize in offering sabbatical opportunities, and yeah, for a family, it might be $100 to $200 a night to do some of that with food and everything included. And if you're going to go do that for an extended period of time, well, I think that's a big task for a lot of pastors. So, I really love it when we get to do these kinds of things. And I think that your pastor might not even be thinking about, you know, I got to take a sabbatical or I want to. But I think if you start to just plant that seed for them and know that we love you enough and we appreciate you enough to like want to invest in you to go and do this and seek the Lord some more and spend more time with your family, like that would really go a long way for a lot of pastors out there. So I love this idea. Really good.
I do too. And it's funny, you know, sometimes we do episodes where we're rating things, right? And giving them a rating. And the reason I'm mentioning that right now is because with this next one, I'm interested to hear your thoughts, Thomas, but I was almost like, this one may not be the favorite, or if we were rating it, maybe a lesser one, maybe not for some pastors, but this next one would be like creative professional development. What we mean is like pay for a course or a leadership retreat for your pastor or a conference or something like that. And my first thought was like, well, great, give them more work or tell them, hey, go become a better pastor, right?
Yeah.
So.
So this one, I'm okay with it in a certain context. So what I don't think you should do is like, if you have no context at all on the kind of like course or professional development that person would want, then I wouldn't just recommend buying a random one for them. Like, so, you know, one that you feel like they need to improve on, that's just kind of like a backhanded compliment, I think. If you say, hey, this is a preaching seminar I think you'd really appreciate to make you a better preacher, pastor. If he doesn't have any desire to do that, then don't do that.
Yeah.
But like, you know, there's all kinds of things that I would love to do. Like, so here's an example. Like, I don't know if this falls under, let's see, what was it said? Pay for a course, a leadership retreat, a course. Okay. So let's call it like, if someone paid for me to get golf lessons, I'd love that. Like, so that kind of a course, because I'm terrible at it and I need it desperately to do those things. So like, and if you have picked up, you know, over time that, you know, your pastor would really, you know, love to get better at golf, or he would love to take surf lessons, or he would love to, and maybe there is something professional or creative that he's into. He wants to, you know, become a better writer or go to a speaking seminar. Maybe you've heard those things. Well, that's the time to do this pastor appreciation gift.
Right.
As if he's already kind of expressed interest in that. Like, wouldn't it be cool to make that happen? Then I would do it, but I would not take a shot in the dark on, hey, he would really, you know, love this. I don't know.
How to become a better shepherd or leader.
Google course. Ads management course or something. Oh, like that we
offer. That's exciting.
How exciting, right?
We got to be careful. That's what our team does. And some of them like it. They do like it. So, but anyway, so that's funny. Well, this next one I think might be the favorite of a lot of pastors. Crowd funded, like a big gift, a big offering, instead of like, you know, 50 people giving 50, you know, small things, taking up a big offering, you know, I don't know, not so bad, it seems like.
Yeah, I love it. So we did this for our lead pastor at the first church that I was at. He had a big milestone year, was at, I think, the 25th year of the church. So he planted it. He was still the lead pastor. And in that time, the church really felt like they wanted to do a big gift for him. So they raised funds, and I think it came out to like I think it was like $12,000 that they came up with.
Nice.
So they sent the pastor and his wife on like a 4-week European
gambling trip to Vegas.
They went to they went on a 4-week European trip. That they did a lot of cycling in Northern Europe and did all those kinds of things. This stuff they knew they wanted to do. I think it involved some of a river cruise and that stuff that was up there. And it came out to like that amount of money. It was a really, really fancy trip.
Yeah,
so
that's cool.
God provided every bit of it by people just giving generously. And that is a lot more meaningful than, you know, $25 gift cards to Chipotle and that kind of stuff from lots of people within your church, right?
Yeah.
So I love this idea. Yeah.
Maybe
I really recommend
meals.
I think it's best used in a like in a big anniversary year kind of context.
See, it's funny you say that, because this reminded me of whenever I was a newer Christian, I was a new believer, and I went to it was like a conference. It was like this church put on an event for not just their own members or their, and it was they had a lot of speakers, and it was like a 2-day thing, and it was a real Pentecostal church, and so they had all these speakers, and it was like a pretty charismatic church. But what was very awkward to me was they surprised their pastor. They walked up at a very just weird moment where the pastor was talking about something completely different, and they just hand him a big old fat envelope of cash, and he was just totally, so it was just at a weird moment, right? It was where you had all these people that were, it wasn't at church anniversary or something like that. So I like what you're saying. I think the occasion is important for the presentation of something like that. Yeah. So
that's funny. I think the thing about that is that, that I wouldn't recommend that, because I know for a fact, and this is kind of my executive pastor knowledge, but I'm not a tax professional. But let me just say this. If you hand your pastor a giant wad of cash, he has to pay taxes on that. I would recommend you. I think that there's ways. And again, this is not tax advice. I think you're probably better off if you are purchasing something directly for them as a sabbatical. When the church purchases it, there's tax implications that are much more advantageous for them. Nothing wrong with a cash gift. That's generous and everything, but just keep in mind that, gifts are heavily taxed, and you will, if you're doing things by the book, you have to report all that as a church there of what you're giving to them and everything.
This pastor was a real charismatic guy. He drove a Harley. So I wonder if he just took the cash and drove off into the sunset and didn't pay the taxes. I'm kidding. maybe not. good. Here's a new one, or another one that is kind of different, a pastor-free staff lunch. So basically, the pastor doesn't have to lead prayer or dig into a conversation, solve problems. So hosted by the staff, they just get to eat lunch.
Yeah, I think I love it. It depends on your context as a church. If you have a lot of pastors on your staff, I think you should do it for all of them. I did something. We had a pastor dinner once that we did something like this, where all of our pastoral staff, we got to go and have the church. We did it at the church, but people made like a really fancy dinner. It was like bacon wrapped shrimp and steaks, filet mignons, and all this kind of stuff. So it was really, really good stuff. It was really a blessing. We had like 40 people from the church honoring like our 8 staff members. Like, so there are all these people cooking and like basically waiting tables and bussing tables and bringing drinks, and you know, they had entertainment and all this stuff. And it was really kind of a fun thing to do, but it doesn't have to be that to the nines. I think like this idea of a lunch, that'd be awesome. If there's a decent lunch place in your town, you know, maybe just kind of just go out to the nines and just bless them with a really nice lunch and be able to do something like that. That's great too. Yeah, I love it. Just something simple. It doesn't have to be something really over the top. And that's relatively affordable, honestly. If you have a
That's what
staff,
I was gonna say. This is a simple one, less extravagant. Yeah.
Yeah. We have 5 pastors on our staff. We have 4. We have one about to become a pastor on our staff right now. So for us, for 5 people, let's say, to come on and go to a nice lunch, you're probably maybe $200 or something like that is how much it would be for like a really nice lunch to do something really cool at a sit down place. Yeah, I mean, that's something that at a church our size, that's everybody giving $1 basically, or less than $1 to do it. It's something you could cover pretty simply, I think. And it would be a huge blessing that goes a long way. And I know just as a pastor of a church, like having more time just to rub shoulders with our team in a non-professional way, but just like as friends and co-laborers and people that love Jesus together, I think that's really valuable time. I love this idea.
That's good. Well, this next one here, I want to let you introduce this, because when we were talking this over before the podcast, I think you really liked this one. And I think it's probably one of the more creative ones that probably a lot of people haven't thought of.
I don't know if I really like this one, but the idea a pastor roast. And so
and
I think
it was a combination.
roast/ blessing. So
yeah.
I don't know. I think that's kind of like a cultural thing that's going on right now, as people are really into the roasts of.
Right.
I didn't watch it, but there's
the
Tom Brady roast.
Tom Brady, right. That's the one that came to mind. I watched
that's
the
guy that
some
needed roasting so bad as a
Probably.
Jets fan. Man, that guy needed to be roasted. No, listen, I love it. Yeah. And I think that again, well-done roasts are done in love and in good taste, and it's not something
a
like,
Christian hey, roast would be a lighter roasting, so yes.
Yeah, I think so, but yeah, I think that as long as it's done in love, I think it's good. I'm just nervous that your typical church can execute this, that everybody that would be invited to roast could execute it with the precision that a good comedian can do it, to let them
That's
know
funny.
That, yeah, this is done in love.
It could
not
get
in
awkward.
Like, yeah, not it, kind it, of like...
We all know that those certain members that who we love, but may just not come off... Yeah. The right way.
I bet you there's someone in our audience that has done this before, like a church that has tried like
I'd
a roast of
that.
Their pastors. If you have, let us know how it went in the comments. I would love to hear that story and what's working there for roasting pastors. But so I would tread lightly and tread with caution, but I'm not opposed to it. I really like, I think it's, I'm the kind of person that would be probably fine with it. But I have famously thick skin, I think, or at least I like to think I do. Maybe it's not as thick as I would like it to be. So
I would agree.
Let us know in the comments if you have some kind of a roast you want to do of me and kind of test my skin thickness. But yes, I think that like for some people it'd be okay. It's not for every pastor. It's not for every church, but I do in general think the idea is interesting.
That's good. Well, last but not least is a home project team. So meaning you put together a serve team or, specific members, staff to go tackle a home project at your pastor's home. You know, maybe the pastor wanted a deck or to finish something that hadn't been finished in the yard or in the house or whatever. So
that'd be cool.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of building a deck right now at our house. And like, I just kind
That's
of imagine
why I thought of
that.
It. You if were telling my, me about that. Yeah.
If my church came and said, hey, you know, we want to do this for you. And boy, if we could do it, like, it's taking a long time for us to do it. It's we started about a month ago, and then I live in Hawaii, and so everything comes here on a boat. And so we found out that my deck boards that were supposed to get here a week ago are not going to be here for another 6 weeks. So nice. Everything's built, ready for deck boards. We have this beautiful deck ready to go, but there's nothing to put on top of it. So here we find ourselves waiting on it. But man, if my church came and said, hey, we want to do this for you, if the labor is skilled and everything, like, so it's
that,
not like a,
that's what I was about to say. You got to make sure someone knows what they're doing.
It reminds me of like when I was a kid, like we used to do missions trips and we would do these building projects on our missions trips. I'm really worried for the safety of all of the kids that would meet in these schools and things that I built as a 17-year-old and poured concrete on, because I had no skill whatsoever for those kids in the Philippines and in Mexico and all those trips that I did when I was younger. But yeah, so if you have the skill set, which I think most churches, you know, you probably have people that are in the trades and doing those kinds of things, but it doesn't have to be something as big as, you know, build a deck.
Sure.
I mean, it could be, there's a giant
tree
or shrubs you want removed.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, they may need some landscaping help, maybe something that hadn't been done in a while or whatever, tree removal.
Yeah, a couple of things I would say, like, you need to let the pastor choose the project. Don't just come there and, like, do what you think would be nice at their house. And then also,
Your walls, Pastor.
Yeah, exactly. We think your house would look great pink, so your wife really likes that color, so let's... No. I also would caution this. I've heard people do the idea of, like, having the church come in and clean, like do a deep cleaning on the house. I find that while that's, I totally get the sentiment. I just know that like my wife would not, would be very, would be mortified. I think if to have people coming in and
bathroom and oh, pastor's just dirty. He lives in filth.
Exactly. And while nobody's really thinking that, I think that it's one of those things you have to be conscious about. So I think outdoor projects or like remodel projects or those kinds of things, maybe you've heard that pastor needs a new water heater or something like that. That kind of stuff would all be great if you have the skill for it. So I love that idea if it can be executed well.
That's good. That's good. So, well, those were our eight.
Yeah, good stuff. It's coming up here. If you're watching this on release, it's only a couple of weeks away. So get ready for Pastor Appreciation Month. We appreciate you, pastors, that watch this. Thank you so much for being a part of the Reach Right family. And we'll see you guys next time.
See ya.